Hi, good morning. This is Sarah Coleman coming from Beyond the Wall. I am interviewing Michael Lynch this morning. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Okay, good morning.
I'm going to ask you, could you share with us, Mike, what your charge is, how much time that you got, and how much time do you have in on this particular charge?
I was charged with first-degree rape, first-degree sex offense, first-degree assault, attempted first-degree rape, conspiracy to commit first-degree rape. I was given 3 life sentences plus 25 years, and I have close to 21 years now.
Okay, could you please give us a little background, Mike, on your case? I know that there's a two-part case. For those of you that don't know, there's 2 parts actually to Mike's case. There's 2 parts to his case. There's actually a civil part to his case, and there is also a criminal part to his case. So which one do you want to speak about first, Mike? All right, well, I guess go ahead and tell us about the criminal portion.
Okay, the criminal case. March the 20th of 1998, it was me and 3 other guys smoking.
Could you speak up a little bit, please, honey?
Marijuana, drinking alcohol, in a vacant apartment. There was a knock at the door. We were joined by 2 other people, some partially knew, others didn't know, along with a young female, Caucasian female. While being in there, she was raped. I don't dispute that. Yes, she was. She was beaten up. She was given 2 black eyes and a cutlet. And my role, I take responsibility for being there because I had no business being there, period. Not only do I take responsibility for being there, if I was given time, I should have been given time for being there. Not for committing a rape or anything else, because I didn't partake in any of that, and I didn't stay the whole time. Everybody else was given life sentences. I'm not really sure what everybody did, everybody's role, because I got out of there. It was proven that I didn't beat nobody up. I didn't put my hands on anyone, and that came out of the victim's mouth. The only thing that they're arguing back and forth is, you know, they're saying, okay, well, you slept with her too, and I'm arguing saying, whoa, hold up, time out. No, I did not. And I was given 3 life sentences in 25 years for it, and that's where I've been ever since.
So when you went there to the apartment that day, you went there with the intent on this happening, or I mean, how did this come about?
Little kid in the neighborhood, I took a liking to, and me and him, I was going to take him to D.C. and let him spend time with me and take him to a little concert. We will hang out, but he wanted to go smoke with his buddy. So I said, well, you know, okay, we can do that. So we went to do that. It started pouring down raining. And, you know, it was another participant that was there. He was living with this little kid at the time, so I wasn't going to refuse him or nothing. He was all right. He was cool. So it started pouring down raining, so old guy said, man, it's a vacant apartment inside of my building. I said, well, he's like, we can smoke in there. You know, it was carpet in there and everything. So we was like, okay, well, that's where we gonna go. And that's where we went. No, there was no intent of nothing dealing with a female, nothing dealing with them two dudes that came in there. It was not planned. It wasn't any of that. When they got there and they started knocking on the patio door, we got scared. So, you know, we ran to the back of the spot and jumped out the window and tell the little kid that lived in that building and said, oh, no. I mean, no, I know him. We know him. I'm like, hold up. And when I came back out, not saying who it was, but I never smoked no marijuana with her. I never got drunk with her. No, it was not planned. The whole thing was only for us to finish smoking our little weed and drinking and chilling out in there until the rain stopped, and then we were leaving.
So how was it that the victim wound up at the apartment? So how was it that he was able to get her to the apartment? I don't understand.
I'm not even sure. Like I say, I have no clue. The only thing I know as far as that go was he met her at a bus stop with the other guy, and they took the last bus all the way out there. I don't know what was said, you know, in order for her to go with them or any of that. I don't know. Only thing I know was when they were talking, like I said, that's how I found out that she was with four other people smoking weed, drinking vodka. Or five other people. I'm not sure. Because like I said, I never held a conversation with her. I didn't know.
Oh, so you didn't know her prior to her coming. And I want to be careful about, you know, saying this, you know, her smoking weed and drinking vodka, because you know, it would almost sound like to somebody else, like, I mean, I know you're not victim blaming. You understand what I'm saying, but I want to kind of stay away from that if we can. So once she came to the apartment, when she came in, was it like a forced? I mean, how did she come in? How was she when she first walked through the apartment door?
When they first walked in, well, I seen the two guys first.
Uh-huh.
And a lot smaller than them, so you know, they came in and everybody was speaking over there, whatever, and I was like, oh, what's up, man, I know you, yeah, man, how you doing, and everybody just started introducing themselves, and we was all sitting on the floor in the living room, you know, there's no furniture or nothing in there, we were all sitting, just laying on the floor, everybody just sitting on the floor,
mm-hmm.
And that's how that transpired, and you know, when she came in and she sat on the floor with everybody else, and they was like, oh, this is such and such, and you know, everybody spoke, hey, what's up, how you doing, and that was that. And they was like, well, what you doing all the way out here? He was like, man, I'm chilling.
So then, I mean, what happened? How did the rape ensue?
Oh, well, while we were sitting out there, the bathroom, she started talking to two of the younger guys. She started talking to them, and the two guys that boarded in, they wasn't really saying anything. At first, got up and went to the bathroom, and you know, they told us that the little guy who lived in the building, he told us that the maintenance man lived next door, so we had to be quiet. And went to the bathroom, and a glass broke. And when the glass broke, the bathroom door came open. When the bathroom door came open, it was like silence. Wasn't nobody really saying anything. They came out and they went straight across because the bedroom was like right across from the bathroom. So one guy started having sex with her.
So when you say started having sex with her, you mean and they were making love or he was forcibly having sex with her?
No, it was weird because she was just doing everything that she just took her clothes off right along with him. And them two started having sex. But he punched her, he punched her in the stomach. On the ribs, somewhere, because there was no lightness in the bedroom period. So he got up, and I'm sitting there, and I tell.
I don't want to keep interrupting you. But if she was compliant, I don't understand why he punched her in her stomach.
I don't understand either.
Okay.
I don't understand either.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand why he did that either. And I told the little kid, I said, man, let's go. You ready? And he's like, yeah, hold up a minute. So, I'm like, all right. So I go back in the living room, and I try to wake the guy up that's sleep on the floor out of the living room. I try to wake him up, and he was one of the original guys that was in there with us already. So he's still laying there. So I went back, and now it's another guy that's sleeping with her, that's in between her legs. So I tell the little kid again, I'm like, man, you ready to go? Let's roll. And he's like, all right, hold up a minute. I said, well, I'm going to be out front. So I walked out front, and I never stopped. I went straight to my father's house. And when I went to when I got to my father's house, only thing I know is that I remember waking up the very next morning to my pager constantly going off.
Let me stop you. Let me stop you right here. Let me ask you this right here, because, okay, first you said you guys were sitting around. You understand, sitting around the room and whatnot. Uh-huh. And then, they went up and they had sex. So, I mean, you didn't mention just then that the other guy was, like, knocked out or asleep. You said, that one person went in and had sex because you was like, I admit, all ago you were like, I admit, she got raped. I should have done something. I mean, now you're saying that you walked out, you left, and she was being, because you mentioned rape. You understand what I'm saying? So first you said that they had sex. They took her clothes off. She took her clothes off willingly. The first person was having sex with her, then the second person. So what would make you say that she was being raped? Because now, I mean, that sounds like a train. I mean, what makes you you say that she's being...
It was rape when he struck her.
Okay.
It was rape when he struck her.
No, I just...
That's what made it like that, because there was no... Like I say, she wasn't fighting. She was doing everything that they were doing, but I don't, like I said, I don't understand why he hit her. I don't understand any of that, but that's when it became rape. But I at that point, I knew the awful feeling. I knew that it wasn't right.
So why wouldn't you say something?
I know that. but I wasn't thinking clearly at that time.
So let me ask you something. At that point, you were only present to see two people have sex with her. And you're sure that you were only present to see two people having sex. You didn't see the I know that we're not going to get this all done in the 30 minutes or whatever, but I want to just break right here. Go please and tell me about the Fairbridge. So you were 18 at the time that this took place. Tell me about, go back and tell me about Fairbridge. You know what happened at Fairbridge, right quick.
When I was, I think I might have been 11. A staff member who was, you know, everybody has their individual, counselors that they call them group leaders that they go to, they talk to about their problems and what have you. Well, this particular staff member, he sexually abused me.
Mm-hmm.
As well as five other children.
Well, I don't know that you can hear it because, you're not being in it. I mean, it's you, in the first person and stuff. But, when I speak on you and what happened to you, I can almost hear the little boy. I can hear the victim. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you revert back to your childhood. You become that little boy. But then when I spoke about, the victim, in the rape case and stuff, and I don't want to, because this is your interview, this is your opportunity. You understand what I'm saying, to tell your story and whatnot, but I don't want to say it's like matter of factly or anything like that, but it's almost like, you were initially saying like she was compliant. Is how I feel like, you were saying. And I think the problem that I have in all of this, and I do understand, I know your story, I'm going through, because they don't know your story. You understand, we've got to be careful. You understand in victim blaming, because you were a victim yourself. And that's the problem. So I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm not trying to be hard or anything. I can't even say I'm on your side. I'm on the side of the truth. And that's what I'm trying to get at, because you have a whole lot riding on this. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to think about what I want to hear. One thing about the truth needs no support. You understand? If you made a horrible decision, you made a horrible decision. But I'm giving you an opportunity to tell your truth. I'm not going to, you know, stop this and, you know, start it over or anything like that. You understand? I operate in the truth, and I want you to operate in the truth. And I'm giving you an opportunity to tell your truth. I don't think you got to testify at your trial or anything like that. So I want to go back in, and I want to know the truth. And the reason, guys, that I went back and I had, because I'm going to bring you guys up to speed, and we're not going to be able to get through this in this interview. I'm going to bring you all up to speed. Mike was born to, his mother was a drug addict. He was actually a product of, I believe, a one-night stand, right, Mike? Yeah, he was a product of one-night stand, and his father came in, you know, to get him. His father, you know, didn't really keep him. He carted Mike off from, you know, home, his grandmother's place, and then he kept putting him in different mental institutions and stuff like that. Mike was, you know, he suffered horribly, you know, at the hands of an adult, him and five other kids. At the hands of an adult, Martin Cooker was his name. You know, I'm not protecting him. He was a counselor or whatever there, in charge of the boys and stuff. Michael's father ended up suing the place. Michael has no idea, you know, the monetary, you know, amount that his father received. He was left in the treatment facility after he was raped and stuff. The father basically took off with Mike's money. The lawyer took off with Mike's money. You understand what I'm saying? This all happened, you know, before the age of 18. He was charged with this rape at 18. And we're not going to be able to get through it, you know, in this interview and stuff. But, you know, I want you guys to, but, you know, because this is really, you know, it's what's happened to Mike, you know, is horrible. I mean, it really, really, really is. What's happened to the victim, it's horrible. You know, they have that in common. But, you know, it goes deeper than that. So, Mike, let's pick up. Let's go back to the room. I mean, let's go back to the apartment that day. So was there anything that you left out? You know, you said that she came in, so you weren't present, you know, with the bathroom or anything. Her being hit in the bathroom. I believe that the phone went off. Sorry about that. But we will pick up on this interview again. Thank you.